Some 2,000 years ago, on the first day of the week, there was one that rose from the grave, and his name is Jesus. Praise God for that. And that is something that this morning I will be speaking on the whole more. But that first day of the week should still be an excitement for all of us. That your children will be able to see that it's not a day just to be lazy. You don't have to work. But it's a day of excitement because we can go and fellowship and worship God. And we love those that we fellowship with. What a tremendous day for the child of God. I was blessed by being here this morning with the shepherd's fold. The Lord bless you, those that are working there. And those that are going through the program, I was blessed by your testimony. Yeah. The Lord wants to do great things in your lives. Great things. Yeah. If Apostle Paul could be changed, you can be changed too. Yeah, absolutely. But you know, the home has such a tremendous bearing on it, does it not? Where we come from, and there are millions and millions of children out there that I shake my head, these innocent lives. And they're looking for an answer, but the parents are hardly to be found. You know. If Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two, if it came unexpectedly, I wonder what you'd do. Oh, I'd know you'd give your nicest room to such an honored guest, and all the food you'd serve to him would be your very best, and you would keep assuring him you're glad to have him there, that serving him in your home is joy beyond compare. But when you saw him coming, would you meet him at the door with arms outstretched to welcome to your heavenly visitor? Or would you have to change your clothes before you let him in? Or hide some magazines and put the Bible where they'd been? Would you turn off the radio and hope he hadn't heard and wish you hadn't uttered that last loud, hasty word? Would you hide your worldly music and put some hymn books out? Could you let Jesus walk right in, or would you rush about? And I wonder, if the Savior spent a day or two with you, would you go right on doing the things you always do? Would you keep right on saying the things you always say? Would life for you continue as it does from day to day? Would your family conversations keep up its usual pace? And would you find it hard each meal to say a table grace? Would you sing the songs you always sing and read the books you read and let him know the things on which your mind and spirit feed? Would you take Jesus with you everywhere you'd plan to go? Or would you maybe change your plans for just a day or two? Would you be glad to have him meet your very closest friends? Or would you hope they'd stay away until his visit ends? Would you be glad to have him stay forever, on and on? Or would you sigh with great relief when he at last was gone? It might be interesting to know the things that you would do if Jesus came in person to spend some time with you. With you. Yeah. The home, such a vital part in society, is it not? You know, the other day we were down at the lake and we saw the waves pounding in there. We saw the debris that is pushed up against right some of the homes, you know. We've seen pictures of of us, the water comes in, and those that were living along the coast, and I think I saw a picture of Florida, and it's getting close to some of the cottages around here, homes. The water is starting to undermine. And I know I one place in California saw a picture of it where this was a beautiful mansion. It was gorgeous. It was beautiful. You know, you could see it was millions of dollars worth. But finally, as the water eroded the foundation, half of it broke off and slid down the bank. And the rest that was left was of no value. No value. And this is sad to see these things happening. We already saw new buildings that had to be, that are empty because there were cracks in the foundation and the walls. Something shifted underneath, making the building unsafe and very unlivable. You know, as we travel across North America, in the distance as I look, I see, I love to look around, see what's happening. And we can distinguish in the distance already whether it is a barn, whether it is a house, whether it is a shed, whatever it may be. Most countries of the world, that is not the case. You have to get right up close before you know what it is. In fact, in most countries, you look at something and you think, well, is it a sheep pen or a place for goats? And as you come closer, you know that goats wouldn't be kept in there very long because they would have the thing torn apart. That's no slam against goats, but I love sheep better. But as you look closer, it's a place where people lived. Yeah. I've been in shacks. I have walked inside and I looked around. What's here? There's no food for the next day, even. I've seen that. This morning, I also already was walking up to a shack like that. And I heard singing. And I thought, what's there to sing about when this is all you have? Nothing else around. But you know, I had to think of the songwriter where he said, a tent or a cottage, why should I care? They're building a palace for me over there. Though exiled from home, yet still I will sing. All glory to God. I'm a child of the King. In that shack, there was a home. And there are a lot of big houses across North America where there's no home inside. Yeah. No. There are people living, dogs and cats, oftentimes more than people. Yeah. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to the end. 20. Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Yes. This morning, there are two kinds of houses. And there are two kinds of destinies, two destinies. One is wise, one is foolish. And did you know what both of these people did here? They built. Maybe they had the same architect that they got their designs from. to every today, every person that has come to years of accountability is building on something. Either it will last or it will fall. Yes, it will. Jesus says, if you will be building, you will either be wise or you will be foolish. The way that parents relate to their children, the way that children relate to their parents. What do you do with your leisure time? How you act in courtship? How you start your home? How you keep your home? What you allow and not allow? It starts all over again in the next generation. Your business or your busyness? What are you building on? What is your goal in life this morning as parents and younger ones? What will make you wise or foolish? It all depends on what you're willing to do with what you're here, with what you hear. You know, you can be challenged, but are you willing to be changed? In verse 24, Jesus states these words, that whosoever, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Whoever hears, whoever has heard, whoever has been shown from this book, the inspired word of God this morning, whoever the Holy Spirit has nudged and spoken to, and he is willing to do them, is like a wise man. Indeed he is. In James, I'll be back here in Matthew 7, but just a few verses in James. The question is asked there, who is a wise man? And the answer is there. In James 3:13, he asked the question, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, and this conversation means your walk of life. Show it. It'll be seen. His works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. We could go on there. Yes, I will. We'll go on there a little bit. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. And I go on to say this morning, in many homes, there is envy and there is strife and there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, and full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And that is building your foundation on the rock. On the rock this morning, dear people, and the rock is Jesus Christ. In fact, I forgot to give you the quote of the morning. The quote of the morning is, passive fathers produce aggressive mothers and confuse children. We have seen it. We have seen ladies almost split churches behind the scenes in our plain circles. Where's the man? I don't know. Maybe the man is scared of his wife. Sometimes that happens. Friends, God has a role calling you men to lead out and you ladies to find that role under him. Otherwise, we will have confused children and shepherd's fold will always be full. God has a perfect design for the home. A wise man will show by his good conduct. He will show by his walk of life where he is building on. And not only that, but what he is building for. As we become doers of what we hear, the fruit will be seen. Indeed it will. And if you have heard the word, and if you have read it, you have seen it lived, you are without excuse this morning. For what you make of it shows whether you're wise or foolish, whether you're building for heaven or for hell. That's the bottom line. It's serious stuff, fathers and mothers. And a responsibility is so great, I shudder at. To be given children in your home, and you, by the grace of God, try to point them from here to there, which is heaven. And fathers and mothers, none of you can do it on your own. We need the Lord. We need the Lord this morning. And we have to humble ourselves before him and ask for that wisdom, and he will give it in 2020. Yes, he will. He doesn't leave us building on the sand. Jesus said, therefore, what I have just finished telling you, take note. And this was the close of the Sermon on the Mount. In verse 21 of the same chapter, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me, many fathers and mothers will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me that work iniquity. Dear people, this morning, it's not every father or mother. It's not every grandparent or son or daughter who is saying, Lord, Lord. But it's the one who has the right speech and, you know, all the words and everything in order. Or the one who acts like a Mennonite. No. But what does it say? It saith, but he that doeth the will of the Father. How can we do the will of the Father this morning? We must know him and have him controlling our life. Fathers and mothers, do you know God? And do your children say the same thing about you? Do your children say that my father and my mother knows God? When Billy Sunday came out of that hotel that one morning, and or whatever time of day it was, and he had a schedule to meet and possibly go preach. And he had on his top coat, and as he came out of the hotel there, and there was a little boy that was selling oranges. And they were all piled up, you know, looked pretty so that people could buy them. And his coat caught on that table. And the oranges roll off the four ways all over the place. And Billy Sunday had to make a decision there. He was late for some reason. He was behind schedule already. The little boy had all the tall day to pick up those oranges, right? Sure. And then he could get on his schedule, and likely it was a good schedule to be on. He likely was going to preach somewhere that day yet. He had to make a decision. And he stopped. And he helped the little boy pick up those oranges. And the little boy looked up at him and said, are you Jesus? You know, he could have been away preaching at some place. But he touched the life. He had time for it. And fathers and mothers, comes close to home, doesn't it? You know, with schedules. We have to be on the run for this and that. But sometimes, if you lose a few dollars that day, and have your children ask if you're Jesus, it'll be worth it all, 1,000 times over. Every house that has a home inside will be tested on where you built on this morning. Yes, it will. It will be for the wise and it'll be for the foolish the same, as I understand the word of God. It says the rains came down from the top. It says the floods came down from the side, from the bottom. And the winds blew on this home. And every side, it seems that old home is shaking. One home stood. One house stood. And the other fell. And it says not only that it fell, but great was the fall of it. And the fall of a home brings with it many consequences. Many consequences, dear people. Not just for the moment, for years and years and eternity for many people. 1 Corinthians 3, I'll be coming back here again, so just 1 Corinthians 3. It says here, 1 Corinthians 3, 9 to 11, for we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. And according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundations and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And this morning, dear friends, are you building on that one foundation that is rock sure? You'll be tested. The waves are going to come and everything else. Yes, they will, just the same like the ungodly. But friends, if you have a foundation that is sure, that water can come up, yes, it can lap away at the sand around it and everything else, but find the foundation is deep, it is sure. Praise God for that. In 2 Timothy 2:19 it says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If we want our homes to stand, then we must keep our building materials clean from insects and whatever else, those things that are out destroy. We have a bed and breakfast at our place. We only had it up a couple of years. And in the winter when we turned the heat up, you know, and people were coming to rent the cabin, then these big ants came out of nowhere. And that's not a welcome guest for the visitors either. You know, ants crawling around. No, they don't match. And I don't blame them. So we had to get it fumigated. Because you could hear them in the wall. They would destroy the building with time. Unseen. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. And that's how come Paul stated, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew, and praise God for the Gentiles and the Greeks too. This foundation is what saves, and it's the only foundation that gives the home power to stand in times like this in 2020. Matthew 7:15-16. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Easy to understand. Hard to discern at times. These verses calls for fathers and mothers to beware because of so-called prophets that will come in sheep's clothing into our churches, possibly, if we're not awake, into our homes. They may look saintly. They may even look like a Mennonite. But they're out to destroy the Word of God because it's a partial gospel. We're living in an age of the emergent church where all religions believe in God or believe in a God. In our local Mennonite church, the issue on the floor there is the liberal church, I call them, truly liberal, that they're now debating that all religions have the same God. Really? I was talking with plain people and they said, Allah is the same God that we have. And I said, do you know the word of God this morning, dear people? Fathers, are you alert to the word of God? Allah is not the same God that we have because Allah doesn't have a son, Jesus Christ. I don't care what language or what you call him, but Allah has no son, Jesus Christ, and that makes all the difference. Friends, Jesus Christ is where we have to build on and believe in this morning. Otherwise, we can't get a hold of God. Know what you believe. And I would love those dear Muslim people. I would love if they would come to know the Lord. And you know, they're so religious. But religion doesn't help you to a close walk with Jesus Christ. Not at all. It's just the opposite. Fathers and mothers, are we aware? It may sound so good. They can come to your door and all kinds of things. No, we're not losing that many to Jehovah's Witnesses and so forth. But far more people are falling for the ecumenicalism of our day and the emergent church. And, you know, like when Rick Warren, the author, Mennonites are using his books for Bible study Wednesday night. And yet this is what he says, all music is from God. Fathers and mothers, are you awake? Most music isn't from God. But he's a man, he has a lot of charisma, he has a lot of money. Yeah. People follow him. Just one thing like that, you know. When people say and believe only a part of the gospel, and you can act and look like the world, and there is no cost for the Christian life. And when there's no cost for the Christian life, there is no cross and there's no discipleship. Friends, we need disciples this morning. We need to be followers of the Word of God. And God bless you, young men, as you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord personally. Follow Him. Follow Him. You can do a lot of words. People are saying a lot of nice things, but are you following Him? Jesus said, "If you love me, then you will do my commandments." You know, a lot of counselors of our day, and praise God, I can recommend Shepherd's Fold, but a lot of counselors in our day are worldly men. And they're bringing our people away from God. Yes, they are. I know at home, there's a case where a young lady went to a counselor and, well, she said, yeah, it's all your Mennonite traditions. That's why you're not free. Get rid of your covering and all of your plainness and whatever else. Then that's freedom. And that's exactly what the old life wants to hear. But it's opposite to what the Word of God says, friends. Yeah. Either that or the counselors will say, you know, well, if you've been abused or whatever, well, think hard enough. I think it was your old granddaddy that did it, whatever. If you won't remember it, but just to keep thinking, and finally you'll think it, and finally you'll believe it. Passing the buck. If you send you have to repent of it. And I realize other people can be involved. They have to also repent of it. Yes. But you cannot pass your problems and say, well, because granddaddy was a drunkard, then I can justify myself and be a drunkard too. Not at all. Not at all. But praise God. I want fathers and mothers this morning, if you are building on the true foundation of Jesus Christ, it makes it so much easier for the next generation to follow. And that is my heartbeat for you. When you're in a store, you know, or some of these counselors will say, you know, let's go back a little further yet. You know, a lot of books on child training are not Christian books this morning, dear people. The author would say, well, let your child throw a tantrum, you know, in the store or wherever. Let them kick and scream, but try to distract them, you know. Try to get their mind off the gum that they wanted onto the lollipop, maybe. You know, distract them so they stop kicking. Yeah. You're what you are because of old granddad. Proverbs says, Proverbs 13:24, it says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Friends, this morning there's a Bible way to discipline, and it's over and over in the Word of God. And there's a soft spot on every rear where discipline can be given in a godly way. But fathers, you have to be in the right spirit to do it, and mothers likewise. Yeah. It takes time. You don't slap a child just over the head and with a stick and things like that. No, that's wrong. But friends, there's a soft spot where it can still sting. It needs to at times. Especially. And this is the solution, dear people. When a child desires his own way above that of his authority, it is not something a father or mother cherishes to do. Sometimes we fathers have to cry with them, pray with them. Mothers likewise. The dad isn't home. Don't let them in their guilt until dad does come home. You know, free them. They're free after. What a beautiful picture. Most children in the world don't know how to be free from your innocent bad doings, as it were. You know, your children are not angels very long unless they're minister's children. Everybody awake? No. Scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone. Yeah. Whether you're a board member in school and your child, yeah, if it's wrong, it doesn't matter who it is. It's wrong. And we forget that sometimes. School problems, whatever. Finally becomes to, my children are really, really better than yours. Really? Yeah. No, they're not. I wish they were, but they're not. You know, when that sin nature, that rebellious spirit is not dealt with, it's not long until they're big devils, still wanting their own selfish ways, ashamed to their parents, ashamed to the church, and finally ashamed to society. Because if this old self is not crucified, society ends up dealing with them. Society is telling you as fathers and mothers, don't deal with your children, don't spank them and whatever else, you know, don't do it God's way. And then they wonder why the prisons are filled in North America. I believe, what, over 2 million people in prison in North America, more prisoners in the U.S. than any country in the world. And yet we have more things. Things doesn't produce godliness, friends, this morning. It does not. It says, if you love your children, you will chasten your children promptly, and some need it few times, and others need it many times. I was in churches already, and I came out the back, and the mother was crying and said, I didn't get anything out of your message. Or dad. Because I had to discipline that morning. Anybody would rather love to hear a message than to be disciplined. Not once, twice, maybe more. And I said to her, you've missed nothing. You've missed nothing this morning, men. If you were doing your godly duty, that's right. You didn't have to get the message, but you're where you get the message through. To the children. Because in those times, when you obey the word of God, and as years fly by, that maybe your children will then be on the mission field. Maybe your children will be in the ministry. Maybe your children will be teachers. Maybe your children will be godly fathers and mothers. What more do you want than that this morning, dear people? Is there anything more? I may never be as clever as my neighbor down the street. I may never be as wealthy as some other men I meet. I may never have the glory that some other men have had, but I've got to be successful as a little fellow's dad. There are certain dreams I cherish that I like to see come true. There are things I would accomplish ere my working time is through. But the task my heart is set on is to guide a little lad and to make myself successful as a little fellow's dad. It is that one job I dream of. It's the task I think of most. And if I'd failed that growing youngster, I'd have nothing else to boast. For though wealth and fame I'd gather, all my future would be sad if I'd failed to be successful as a little fellow's dad. I may never get earth's glory. I may never gather gold. Men may count me as a failure when my business life is told. But if he who follows after is a Christian, I'll be glad, for I'll know I've been successful in a little fellow's, as a little fellow's dad. The floods will come this morning. The winds will blow. And some of these false teachers and writers are undermining God's work. And if a house is not grounded on the solid and the only foundation, the fall will be great this morning, dear people. Many families don't want children anymore because of their own selfish lifestyle. And this I will say then to them. Yes, they might want to party, not to be burdened by the cost of that tied-down feeling and thus switching to dogs and cats and lavish their love upon him. Such a home is already fallen, dear people, this morning. Indeed it is. Yeah. If you go by the world, they say, well, we do want children. And then we hear it in Mennonite churches, well, we don't want children because things are getting worse out there. Even now, coronavirus and whatever else is going to happen down the road, it will get worse. The Bible says it will. But dear people, God will give you the grace in 2020, as long as he tarries, to give you the grace to raise up children for the cause of Christ. Yes. When God attached such great importance in selecting a man to become head of his chosen race, Israel, what did God say in Genesis 18? I won't turn to that, but 18 and 19. It says that God is saying this, that Abraham would command his household after him, and they all would keep the ways of the Lord. God saw in Abraham something that was genuine. He knew that Abraham was a man of faith, and when God told him to go, he walked and he took his family along. And they walked, and they walked. Because Abraham was looking beyond the resurrection, even of Jesus Christ, and he said, I see a city whose builder, whose foundation and builder and maker is God. Fathers and mothers, don't we need more men like that? God didn't zero in on what Abraham's lineage was, but what he would follow. You know, this morning, dear people, I don't care if you were a Mennonite in the background or what your background was or whatever. To this morning, there is hope for you as you follow Jesus Christ. Indeed it is. Young men and shepherds' fold, my. Follow Jesus. I don't care if you're from Kentucky or you had a lot of states here. I guess the U.S. is that big, is it? But, yeah, just kidding. I mean, all over. Follow Jesus Christ. Go back to your home states. Be that example there. As time goes on, be that example there. What Jesus Christ wants to do through your life. You can make a difference. Yes, you can. God wants to use you. How many fathers and mothers are letting the wind and the floods drown their own children because they're afraid to command and direct their children towards a saving faith in Jesus Christ by their own lives and examples of a crucified life? Like I said earlier in the week, your children will know whether Sunday is special to you. Yes, they will. You don't have to tell them, oh, we have to go to church again this morning. The water's nice and the beach is beautiful. But yeah, I guess we have to go. Yeah. Friends, your children will know that you're not enthused where you are. There's a man at home I used to work with. And he every Monday morning, he came to church and, oh, the minister said this again, and we all had to have black cars where we were, and on and on. And well, okay, why didn't he even go somewhere else if that brought a better relationship? Not that I'm promoting church hopping, but we should support where we are. But I'm not a prophet, but I could have prophesied where his children would be going. And they're all somewhere else than he was. Yeah. Are we enthused this morning for walking after God? Are you building? What are you building on? What foundation is it this morning? In Proverbs 22, just a verse or two there. Proverbs 22, verses 4 to 6. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. First, let's look at the train. One may teach or instruct a few hours per day. But fathers and mothers, it's a lot longer than that. It's a 24/7 deal. Sometimes the middle of the night deal. You know. Yeah. Your children will know whether getting up in the middle of the night because they're sick, that you still love them through those circumstances too. A train is always hooked on to something, to a locomotive. And so the children fastened to the parents is a train hooked on to you. Ever wish for quiet time? Just get away from us. And here this train is following you around the kitchen, into the living room, up into the bedroom, down again, and through the... And with that, they're asking 1,000 questions. You know, just one after. We took our neighbors, and I don't know if their children are worse or if what, but they just come in the car, and they, is this your car? You know, what's that stick up there for? And on, and I said, I'm not used to this anymore. You know, there's a time that God gives children and doesn't anymore. I thought, oh, and these parents live with that? But God bless you this morning. It's a very short time where you are that instructor, where you have that train following you around and around. What's this for? What's that for? Yeah. They're learning. They're learning and learning and learning. Yeah. Very short time. And through those all those questions, they're seeing what foundation is important to you. They will see whether you want them protected from the wind and the storms that come. They will know whether you're a keeper at home or whether a babysitter is more important to you. And this morning, dear people, somebody will train your children. Sad to say, a lot of children are trained only in the public school for what little they get out of there. And it just makes them more worldly than ever. Yeah. Somebody will train your child on some foundation they will end up at. They will follow somebody. Yes, they will. Taking out of context a bit, but let's look at Matthew 7:13. It says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. At home, we were in the barn. We lived on a farm. We had a fence around the house. When you go to Romania, many people there still have fences around their house. It's to keep the children in and the cattle out and the cars out, whatever else it may be. Outside on the road, it is heavily traveled. Many are on that road. There is noise. There is the radio. There is the evil music. There's the swearing. They show off the show of their vehicles, the peer pressure, the books, the pornography, the romance, the evil toys. But as you come home, when your children come home in the evening and they open the latch of that gate, finally security, rest, that the world has nothing to offer, friends. Nothing to offer. As you come home, there's quietness. That little gate doesn't let in the horse and it doesn't let in the car. There you are. As you step inside, you find refuge from the evil stuff that is on the wide Broadway. Ephesians 4, just a few verses here. Ephesians 4, 14 and 15. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive you, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Ephesians 5:19-21. It says here, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Are these the songs that you hear in your home? The books that the children read in your home? Do they portray godliness? And if not, then expect the fall to be great. The evil influences, are they kept out on the Broadway, or have they made inroads? Is it your home when supper time comes? Your talk is who's winning who? What game is out there? I remember working for Christian Aid, and a fellow had a Boston Bruins, I think that's something out there that plays ball or football, I don't know. But anyway, he had this cap on, so brand new. Yes, he said, I just got it for $30. But really, so what does it mean to me? Well, he said he loves that team. And here a few minutes later, one comes down the chute with the used clothing. Bend up a bit and whatever. I would have sold them for half the price, given the money to Christian Aid. You know, stewardship is long gone if you love something more than Christian principles. The evil speech, the lustful songs, the internet, the things that goes on in your pocket. We had a young man here just the other week that fell into fornication at once, but many times. Where are the parents? Where are the parents? When your daughter or your son can have their own phone at 12 years old, that's uncalled for, friends. There's no need for that. And once the need comes, then you better have controls on those things. Otherwise, we say, why wander? Oh, it's my son. My daughter did it too. Yeah. And now they're worried, where are all the children going that way? Where are fathers and mothers at? The list goes on and on and on. The same family. Once the son was 16 years old, he could go, he's going to get all the money. And that's usually the problem. Young people, if they can have all the money, spend it foolishly, too. Yeah. They don't need all the money at that age, dear people. They don't know how to use it wisely, and that's no slam against any 16-year-old. But we need wisdom from our parents, and they can stabilize those things a bit for us until we really know value of things. Yeah. This young man, he could go and buy whatever he wanted to. Now you bring it home, and the parents say, oh, well, that's not what the church stand wants, in church. But I already bought it. Confusion in the home. Confusion in the home, friends. Can your children find rest and security because the parents stopped the peer pressure out at the gate already? The fads and whatever comes in, parents, be alert to those things. Where are they getting the signals from? If the hat is on backwards, that comes from the world. That's not so much an in thing, or maybe everybody's doing it by now, but I could tell you it was from a rock group that started it. A lot of these things come from very worldly people. Parents, are you supporting the body that you're with? Do you have your affection this morning on things above, like Colossians 3, 1 and 4, it says, setting my affections on things above? Sin is rampant. And as your children step off the freeway this morning or turn off the 90 out here, that there's still one place of seclusion away from the mad rush of this world. Can your neighbors see that as they come into your home, that your home consists of more than just crafts and whatever else, but they can see God is here. They can look in your wall, and the most ungodliest person, they may never say anything to you, but they see it. A billboard going down the road, everybody will see it, friends. You have to make a decision about it. We had visitors years ago in our home, and fathers and mothers, you're accountable for anybody that's living in your home. It doesn't stop at 21. They're still at home. Yeah. Where were you tonight? So late. Yeah. You have to keep tab of these things. Yeah. What is the curfew? Yeah. It doesn't stop at a certain age. They're under your roof. Parents, be awake. And you know, as a father and mother, when you heard that door click at night, they're all home. Sometimes you had to talk the next morning. How come they'd go past the curfew? Yeah. Sometimes there's a godly reason, you know. Those things can happen. In our place, we had a, with Hutterite friends, and we had a wiener roast down here. You call it a hot dog roast. Up there is the hot dog when the wiener and the bun are together. That makes the conclusion. But be that as it may. We were roasting these hot dogs, and the Hutterites said, I'm going out to my car and get some beer in. You know, hot dogs and beer, that is a good combination. Really? I said, well, if you want to drink beer, it's not my property. And he looked at me. He never dreamt that this wouldn't go together. They call themselves Christians too. Well, this is my belief. This is what I believe. You have to decide if you want a good hot dog with orange juice or whatever else we had, or if you want to take your hot dog out there and be by yourself. We have to lead out, fathers and mothers. And our children will see whether you mean business or not. Yes, they will. When fathers and mothers are building, where are you building on? The winds will come, the rains will descend, the floods will rise, and the water pushes, and it pushes through the picket fence, it pushes and laps at the front entrance of your home. It pushes on to destroy the homes in North America and worldwide. 1 Corinthians 16:13, it says, quit you like men! And a lot of men are quitting, literally. But this quit doesn't mean that you drop and be just a lazy old fellow. It means to rise up and be a man of God. Be a man of God. Don't quit as so many are quitting out there, but you rise up and fulfill your calling and be a man in your home so that your wife can follow behind and the children will love to see that. Indeed so. Will your home stand the test? Are you hearing the word of God? Have you been doing what the word of God calls us to do? Are you excited this morning about the things of God? Can you talk about Jesus Christ? Can you talk about his coming again, that it could be today? And this is excitement, dear people, for every child of God, because I believe Jesus Christ could come to delay the glorious rapture of the church of Jesus Christ to be forever called up to meet him in the air. And friends, this is not to scare a person, it's only to prepare us. And we need fathers and mothers that are prepared so that our children see we love him. If not, friends, great will be the fall of your house. Why? Because it not only affects you and your children, for if the Lord tarries, it'll affect the generations to come. And hell will be enlarged because a few people didn't build on the foundation that stands forever secure with Jesus Christ. Very serious business, but I'm not speaking that there is no hope. Otherwise, we're living in a time where it's dangerous, it's evil, But God is just as powerful now as he was when Noah was hammering away on the ark. He wants to bring you into the ark of safety. A builder buildeth a temple. He wrought it with care and skill. Pillars and groins and arches all fashioned to work his will. And men said as they saw its beauty, it shall never know decay. Great is the skill, O builder, thy fame shall endure for aye. A mother builded a temple with infinite loving care, planning each arch with patience, laying each stone with a prayer. None praised her unceasing effort, none knew her wondrous plan, for the temple the mother builded wasn't seen by the eye of man. Gone is the builder's temple, crumble into dust, and low lies each stately pillar, food for consuming rust. But the temple the mother builded will last while the ages roll, for that beautiful unseen temple was the child's immortal soul.